This is to be expected. This is how you know that Alex Gold is really worried. This is how you know that Alex Gold is really concerned about his team this weekend. If you guys have been following our little back and forth, I offered Alex Gold tickets to go to this weekend's MUKU game. The tickets are right next to Rob. What we got was a bevy of excuses of why he wouldn't accept the tickets. Oh, man, you know, I don't want to spend a dollar in Columbia. Man, it's early. It's the drive. You know, I'm just going to watch it on TV. You know the energy you get when somebody really doesn't want to do something? And I wasn't going to be in a position like I got to twist your arm to give you free tickets to go to the game. No. They're free. It's a podcast. Hey, go to the game. We know each other. We're friends. I'm already going. Let's have a good time. No, man, you know, I didn't plan for it. And I mean, if you had told me a couple of weeks ago, it's week three of the college football season. How early did I have to tell you? So Alex didn't want to go. So it's been a little bit of back and forth, you know, just all friendly. It's all good natured ribbing. We're the guys. Yesterday, I was emotionally attacked. That's the best way to put it. I was emotionally attacked. A friend asked me to go to a Royals game, and I agreed. Yeah, of course, I'll go. If you don't want to go to the game by yourself, you know what? I'm here. I'm here to support, and I'm here to be a good friend. All of a sudden, we get placed on the kiss cam. Now, I'm sitting there minding my business. I didn't consent to being on the kiss cam, but you know what? Here we are. I was just trying to be a regular fan, a regular patron, when I was assaulted by the Royals cameraman. So I'm just like, you know what? I just looked to her, and I'm like, you know, hey, we're on the kiss cam. Like, when in Rome. That's what I'm thinking. Next thing you know, I get a head shake and a, you don't belong to me. And then the camera cut. And now I'm sitting here, and then it's the whole, oh, you know, the groan from the crowd. They're laughing at me. And now, look, Scott Parks is coming in here. Aren't you supposed to be on the air?
We're in a commercial break, top of the hour. We just watched the video in our studio, and I don't know if I should laugh or cry for you. How embarrassing. She just says no. No. She wants nothing to do with those lips.
I blame Alex Gold. I feel like what he did was dirty pool. We offered him tickets to go to MUKU. He didn't accept the tickets. And now he's trying to make fun of me in a moment of great emotional distress, great pain, and asking me to relive a moment in which I was publicly embarrassed. This could have just gone away.
Who is this woman to you?
A dear close friend.
Not that dear and not that close.
Obviously, she didn't want to be dear or close.
No. Oh. Bro, how did you even wake up this morning?
I'm going to recover. It's going to take time, but you know what? I'm going to take it one day at a time.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it one day at a time is what I'm going to do.
Well, I'm not saying we were laughing at you in the other room.
Oh,
we were laughing at you in the other room.
I could hear Dana cat.
No, she goes, it's online. It's online. I got to run.
I can hear Dana.
I feel for you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know what? That's what a real friend does. You see, I was down, Rob. I was emotional. You see what happened, man. Now the text line's laughing at me. I'm a joke to you guys.
Someone called it the Coldplay cam, and I am laughing at that. I'm not going to lie. That's funny.
I'm going to have your back.
But calling it the Coldplay cam was funny.
That's funny. That's funny. I'm going to get through this. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. But you know what? I've been through worse. Text line is saying they need more evidence about Alex Gold. Okay. I mean, we already have on record multiple times he's tried to go out of his way to downplay this rivalry.
But if Missouri was 10th in the country or something, then there would be buzz. They're not. They haven't held up their end of the bargain since the series renewed, and I'm so glad it did. and this one's in Columbia, and I have no doubt it's going to be a great atmosphere, at least to start. We'll see what happens in the second half, because Missouri's been competitive for about 10 minutes.
I mean, in basketball, he didn't want to go to the game because he didn't think it was going to be competitive. He had an opportunity to go to the game. He didn't want to go because he told me there was no buzz for the game.
Then you add in the fact, let's just, this is not even hating, but like, it's the reality that MU hasn't been competitive since they started playing in these games. They just haven't. And so maybe that changes in Columbia on Sunday. I don't think it's going to. This game doesn't have much buzz around it, guys. It just doesn't. Part of it is a lot of people aren't in college basketball mode.
It's always something. At first, there was no buzz. He wasn't in the college basketball mood. Now, he doesn't want to go to the game. He doesn't want to spend money in Columbia. And this is the guy you believe. You determine who you believe. I can't tell you who to believe. You make that determination for yourself. I've given you no reason to question my story. And if you want to continue to kick a man while he's down, while the internet is laughing at him and mocking him, be my guest. But I know what, I'm going to keep my head held high. I don't even know if I can depend on Rob. I don't even know if I got Rob to rely on. Rob was playing funny songs earlier today, just having a little funny laugh at my expense. You think that's funny to me? I got embarrassed in public and now I'm getting embarrassed on the internet and now I got to relive it? That's funny to you. You're supposed to be my mans. We're supposed to be on the same team. I'm supposed to be Brady. You're supposed to be Gronk. You're my Julian Edelman. I can't rely on you anymore. That hurts, man.
I'm back on the team.
Oh, here we go. Now you're back on the team.
Pre-seeing the video, I thought it was all fun and games. But now I've seen the video, and you know what? I do feel for you. I got you. I got your back.
Okay, all right. You know what?
Video makes it so much worse.
That's good to hear. You even know this person.
Oh, I do know this
you
person.
You do know this person. Yeah, you do know this person. That's why it's so hurtful. I'm like, this person's been around. You know this person. You know that's my friend.
I've been to multiple movies and had dinner with this person.
Yeah, that makes it even worse. Alex also knows who this person is. I know. Terrible. Can't believe you would embarrass me like that in front of company like this. How could you do this to me? Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Earlier on the show, we had Lance Leipold on the show. I would highly encourage you to go check it out. I would encourage you to check out our Lance Leipold interview from earlier in the show. This is that like weird where we like can't really start a new segment because we got a break. So you know what? I think I'll split the baby. Rob and I did this research earlier today. Out of the last 10 AFC or NFC championship games, in 9 of those seasons, one of those teams has outright missed the postseason. So that means this upcoming year, if you are somebody that buys into history kind of matters. If you buy into history, the Chiefs, Bills, Eagles, or Commanders, one of those teams is going to miss the playoffs this year. 913-586-7965. We asked you guys a very simple question. Which of those teams do you think it's going to be? In 9 of the last 10 years, one of those teams misses the playoffs. You're thinking, oh, well, no, that can't happen. I mean, 2 years ago, it was San Francisco. Cincinnati, you remember, Cincinnati beat the Chiefs in the AFC championship game. They went to the championship game before then. We're thinking Cincinnati's in that same conversation with the Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City. They have missed the playoffs the last 2 years. You guys know what team I think it is. I think it's the Commanders. They got regression written all over them. They overachieved last year. Their schedule lined up in such a way that gave them an opportunity to make a deep run, to make the postseason. I don't think the Commanders are making the postseason at all this year. That's my team. I'm curious to hear what you guys think. 913-586-7965. We'll answer that question a little bit more coming up on the other side. And we'll also get back to the Chiefs and get you ready for week 1 against the Chargers. Keep it right here. So Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into the show. We'll get back to our main topic here coming up in just a bit. If you want to see the video from me yesterday at the Royals game on the Kiss Cam, it is now available on our social media page. I want to give you guys my random bold prediction for the National Football League? I think that Tyreek Hill is getting traded at the deadline. If you want me to look ahead just a little bit and to give you my big NFL prediction, I think that Tyreek Hill is getting traded in a couple of months. It just, you can feel the way that it is turning. The Miami Dolphins will save $36 million by cutting him at the end of this season. $36 million at the end of this season. So for next year, if he stays on the Dolphins, he will have a $51 million cap hit at 32 years old with a base salary of $29 million. So from a financial standpoint, the Dolphins need to make a decision this offseason about what they want to do with Tyreek Hill. If you follow the same school of thought that Rob and I follow, that the Dolphins are not going to be good this season, I don't know what it looks like for Tyreek Hill on back-to-back seasons for a team that ain't going nowhere, especially when you're used to either A, putting up massive numbers that put you in the All-Pro Hall of Fame conversation, or you started your career in Kansas City where you pretty routinely competed for championships. What does it look like in week 7 when the Dolphins are 2-5 and don't really have a chance of doing anything? And again, you got a $51 million cap hit that's hanging over your head. I think it's very, very clear what we're talking about here. I think it's very, very clear. I don't know if this is a bold prediction. This is just me trying to look into the future just a little bit. I think the Tyreek Hill is going to get traded in October. I think there's going to be some team that feels like they need something over the top. They will give the Dolphins something a little bit better than what they could potentially get in the NFL draft. Or if he just walks away in free agency, I think that Tyreek is not going to be playing for the Dolphins for too much longer.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's not an interesting conversation, but based on how you and I both feel the Dolphins can be this year, does that count as bold? Like, we both think the Dolphins might be real bad. Like, I think the Dolphins and Saints will be fighting down the stretch to not be to be in the conversation for Nussmeier next year. I guess maybe they can get out from under Tua, but it feels like it's about to blow in Miami. There's OBJ, there's Jalen Ramsey, there's Tyreek Hill. There's a lot of big personalities and a coach that I don't think can handle big personalities, and it just feels like it's on the brink of a disaster. If they trade their expensive 30-plus-year-old wideout just to get picks back, is that really all that bold to see that coming? Like, maybe if he's outright cut, I'll call it bold, but getting a fifth-round pick back to send into the, you know, the I'm trying to name a team in the NFC, to send into the Niners at the deadline just doesn't feel like a whoa type of move anymore. I think the first Tyreek Hill trade was a whoa one. The next one won't be.
Yeah, for sure, but I guess at least looking at it, I mean, I know that last year was a down year for Tyreek Hill, but, I mean, if there is a team that is a playoff contender, borderline Super Bowl contending team, I mean, that's going to be a big move. Now, I would say one of the teams that could potentially use Tyreek the most, I don't think the Dolphins are trading him to Buffalo, for example. But there's going to be a team that is wide receiver needy that, I mean, Tyreek last year, in a down year for Tyreek, had 81 catches for 959 yards and 6 touchdowns last season. Like, that's a down year for Tyreek Hill. That's a good player to add, I would say. That's a really good player to add, and that's usually not the kind of players that are available at the deadline. Usually, I would say it's a guy like DeAndre Hopkins last season. A guy with a name, a guy who is clearly past his prime, a guy that you don't have to spend a lot of money to go acquire, a guy that doesn't take a significant draft pick for you to go get, and also, like, doesn't really shift the balance of anything. Like, I know he was a nice name and it was good to have, but I mean, like, the Chiefs were not more of a contender because they went out and got DeAndre Hopkins last year. The feeling, if Tyreek is still anywhere close to the player that he was 2 years ago, or if he's just what he was last year, a guy that can catch 1,000 yards, I think that's a pretty decent move for a team if all you got to do is give up a fourth or a fifth round pick and a little bit of cap space for the rest of the year.
Let me ask you this, though, because, and we won't know the answer to until football starts, but a guy whose whole game is speed, and he's what, 5'10". I don't have his, you know, measurables in front of me. Let's say he's 5'10". A guy who's 5'10's whole game is built on speed. The first time he had a down year was at 30 years old. He ain't getting younger. He ain't getting faster. Like, is it possible that the trend line is ticking in the wrong direction for Tyreek Hill? You're right. He could still be a more valuable player than a DeAndre Hopkins type at the deadline. I agree with that. But it ain't like he's the Christian McCaffrey move, a guy in his prime. He's 31. In theory, 31-year-olds are slower than 21-year-olds, and he just came off one of his worst seasons as a pro. That feels like a receiver who could be in regression, and that would drive the price down for potential trade for him at the deadline.
Yeah, no, I mean, that certainly makes a lot of sense. I would say just kind of depends on what quarterback they get. I mean, last year, just Tua was not good last season. Tua had 19 touchdown passes last year, so Tua just wasn't that guy. They had issues last year at the quarterback position. I mean, Tua only played in 11 games. Excuse me, if you put Tyreek with one of the top 12 quarterbacks in the league, I still think he's a dangerous player that can be a game changer. For example, I know you guys will get on me for this. If he went to the Chargers, that would be something like, oh, interesting. Like, you're going to have Ladd McConkey on one side. You're going to put Tyreek Hill on the other side. So it's obviously early in the season, just giving you a little bit of a prediction to look ahead. But I think this Dolphins thing is very clearly headed for a divorce. That's just how it feels. They didn't make him a captain this year. Him and Tua are still talking about issues that they had this offseason. If you and I don't think the Dolphins are going to be very good this year, that are you going to keep a player who asked to be traded at the end of the season? You have to make a decision on in February anyway. Is it in your best interest to have that player around in November and December if your team's not going anywhere? I could just see a team being willing to make a trade for Tyreek Hill. So let's go back to what we were talking about before the break. So out of the last 10 years of AFC and NFC championship teams, in 9 of those seasons, at least one of the teams the following year just outright missed the postseason. So last year, I guess 2 years ago, obviously this season hasn't happened, so we don't know which one of those four teams. So a couple of years ago, Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, and Niners. The San Francisco 49ers missed the playoffs last year. Now you have a new crop of teams. You have the Chiefs and the Bills, and in the NFC was the Eagles and the Commanders. Those were the four teams left standing to see who could go to the Super Bowl. History tells you that one of those teams is just going to miss the playoffs this year. For whatever reason, injury, turnover, whatever it can be, schedule's more difficult, hard luck, one of those teams is going to miss the postseason. The overwhelming sentiment is the Commanders. I'm just not a believer in the Commanders. I've been telling you guys this all season. Like, I would take the under on the Commanders. The Commanders last year only beat one team that went to the postseason in the regular season. It was the Eagles. And in that game, Jalen Hurts left with an injury. They won one game on a Hail Mary last year. Everything just kind of came together perfectly. I think the Commanders are prime for regression this year. If you had to pick, let's say you remove the Commanders from this conversation, and I tell you either Kansas City, Buffalo, or Philadelphia, I tell you one of those teams misses the postseason, which team would you predict?
I mean, you're right. The answer is Washington. I think the next team most likely to miss after Washington is probably the Bills, right? Like, I feel like the Bills are a team, and I like Josh Allen. You like Josh Allen. He won the MVP last year. Josh Allen's a good quarterback. Josh Allen and the Bills offseason feels like the Chiefs offseason. They didn't get any better, and it feels like a lot of them making the postseason is propped up by their division is real bad. But if you were to ask me to rank, you know, most likely to least likely to make the playoffs based on those four teams, we agree on the Commanders just because they were over their skis last year, the whole deal. I then think it's Buffalo, Philly, Kansas City, if you were to rank it after that, because maybe just the one is the Commanders and that fits the stat. We check the box, move to the next. But if it's going to be multiple, I think the Bills are the second team out of that group.
Yeah, that's interesting you would say that, just because I would say that out of those three teams, if I'm ranking the likelihood of them winning their division, I would say it's Buffalo, just because I think their division is easier than Kansas City. I would then go Kansas City 2, and then I would go Philadelphia 3.
You have Philly as the least likely, though, just to win their division. You don't like the Commanders, you don't like the Cowboys, and no one likes the Giants.
No, I'm not disliking the Eagles. I'm just saying is, now, I know they won the Super Bowl last year. Just a year ago, we got a long Seth Wickersham story about how their coach and their quarterback didn't like each other. You remember that? They limped to the playoffs just a year ago. They limped to the playoffs. They lost in the first round to Tampa Bay. It was a big story about how this guy doesn't like this guy and this guy doesn't communicate well with this guy. We were talking about A.J. Brown, who was reading books on the sideline. I know that winning cures all. It wasn't that long ago that we did not feel this way about the Philadelphia Eagles, and I would say more so than maybe those other teams that we're talking about. I think Kansas City's fine if Travis Kelce gets injured, for example. Knock on wood. I think they're fine. I think the Ravens are fine if Zay Flowers misses some time. Of all of those teams, the most important player is Saquon Barkley. I don't know how Philadelphia works if Saquon isn't the best running back in the National Football League. Because 2 years ago when they had Miles Sanders, they went to the Super Bowl. They then made a decision to move on from Miles Sanders. They didn't nearly have as potent of a running game. Philadelphia drastically regressed. What if Saquon Barkley just kind of turns back to what he was with the Giants or gets injured this season? There's a lot of turnover at running back. What if Saquon Barkley doesn't run for 2,000 yards and he runs for 1,100 yards this season? Are they still the most dynamic offense? They also lost some pieces on defense. Now, I'm not here telling you I'm predicting the Eagles to miss the playoffs, but if there's any division that's random out of those three, the AFC West is not random. The AFC East is not random. The NFC East is completely random and has been random now for the last 20 years.
I would say this. It's an interesting conversation. I feel like you explain why I think the Eagles wouldn't fall off with a Saquon injury or something just be without in your conversation there. They were a playoff team with DeAndre Swift. Were they the best? No. But they were in the playoffs with DeAndre Swift. They were in the playoffs with Miles Sanders. Like, it wasn't just, oh, man, Miles Sanders is unbelievable. You can't stop Miles Sanders. Watch out for Miles Sanders. Nope. They were just fine. Nick Sirianni, for all the things people dislike about him, and I get why people dislike him, a year ago, I literally bet on FanDuel for him to be the first coach fired. I was wrong. Very wrong. Nick Sirianni's a consistent playoff guy. Like, just almost every year. He's in the playoffs. Nick Sirianni wins, wins, wins. And I would say with Saquon Barkley gets hurt in that world, they still have two elite wide receivers and a quarterback that we consider, I'll be generous, top 10. Maybe top 5, maybe top 7. We still think he's a top 10 quarterback with maybe the best receiving core in the league, and for Nick sure. Sirianni's a good coach. Like, even if Saquon got hurt, I still think the Eagles would find a way to make the playoffs. I don't think they'd find a way back to the conference championship game, but I think they'd find a way to make it work because they have enough of the other ingredients. With the Bills, if that defense regresses, like let's just say the defense regresses, or let's say James Cook isn't the same way he was last year. Can you name a wide receiver on their team outside of Shakur? Can you name anyone in that secondary other than DeMar Hamlin? And I know Jordan Poyer's back. Like, they got massive questions everywhere. It's just they have Superman at quarterback. Or I guess you don't want to call him Superman because that's Patrick Mahomes. They got whatever. They got
a really good quarterback.
They got Green Lantern, yeah, whatever the guy. But if he's not MVP good, man, the pieces around Josh Allen could fall apart fast. I think why he's viewed as a playoff team, no doubt, is the division. But maybe the division's spicier than we think. People love the Patriots on paper. Betting sites love the Patriots. Maybe there's something there.
I want to do an impromptu power ranking, and I want to get your thoughts on it. How would we rank the rivals currently for the Kansas City Chiefs? And I'm curious where you would put the Chargers. Because I think there is a dislike of the Chargers, but I'm starting to feel like the dislike for the Chargers is much more in how the media feels about the Chargers, more so than you guys hate them. Like, you guys hate the Raiders. You hate the Broncos. I think you guys hate the hype surrounding the Chargers every single year, and that's what kind of turns you off. I think we would agree right now number one is Buffalo, right? Buffalo is their biggest rival today. Who is the team that you think who is the team?
I think Cincinnati's won. Maybe I'm falling for an internet trap. I think right now fans hate the Bengals more than they hate the Bills. I think they just own the Bills so much that they don't like them for football reasons, but like pure dislike, rivalry, hate. I think when Ja'Marr Chase goes in the NFL top 100 and says he won't say Patrick Mahomes' name, that gets the fan base way more riled up than, hey, Josh Allen's going to have a good season. I think the Bengals are one and the Bills are two right now.
Yeah, the reason I would argue that Buffalo is number one is this. Their quarterback just won MVP. There's starting to be a growing sentiment that their quarterback is better than your starting quarterback. They play really good, really close competitive games. And I don't think that any Chiefs fan would admit this publicly. But I think most Chiefs fans know eventually Buffalo beats you. I don't know when they beat you or how long it takes them to do it, but eventually Buffalo wins in the AFC Championship game. That's kind of the history of the National Football League. The Cowboys kept beating the San Francisco 49ers. Eventually, Steve Young and the Niners beat the Cowboys. They went on to win their one Super Bowl, right? Peyton Manning, dominated by Tom Brady for most of our childhood. Eventually, Peyton Manning beat the New England Patriots. Now, they played 9 times when he was in Indianapolis, and he had a 3-6 record against them. But eventually, you keep giving Peyton Manning enough chances in the postseason, he will eventually walk through that door and figure out a way to beat you. I don't think most Chiefs fans would admit it, but at some point, I don't know when it is, I do think Buffalo beats Kansas City in a postseason game, just the law of averages. The games are so close, they're coin flip games. If you keep flipping a coin enough, if you keep calling heads, eventually it lands on heads, right? So I would say that Buffalo's number one. You think the Cincy's still two? Because I think for the most part, Chiefs fans are kind of off Cincy.
Where we're gonna disagree is you have Cincy at two, that's fine. I think Cincy is still one. So if we're gonna say, let's just take the law of averages, I don't think Cincy can be any lower than two. I think Cincy still bothers Chiefs fans. I think it's the one that got away, whatever the feeling. Like, we made the Patriots analogy. The Patriots and Colts are rivals because on the field. But I bet if we went up and asked Patriot fans, hey, who do you hate more, the Colts or the annoying Jets who stole one from you? They would all say the Jets. That's how I think Chiefs fans view the Bengals. They were brash, they were loud, and they came into your stadium and they took one from you. And they took one where you were up 21-3 and you felt like it's a party, we're going to LA, it's going to be a coronation, and all of a sudden you look up and Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have stolen one from you. Then they start calling it Burrowhead. And I think the Bengals, if you don't have them at one, that's fine. You cannot have them lower than two. Fans don't like the Bengals.
Okay, I'm willing to entertain the possibility that Cincinnati is a two. I'm willing to entertain it. Are we putting Baltimore at three? Or do you think there's another team that you would consider more of a rival to the Chiefs than Baltimore? Because Baltimore feels like we're putting the Raiders ahead of them. Like, what was the last significant game that the Chiefs and the Raiders have played?
Have they played one in the last 10 years? Like, I can't. Have they played one since Andy Reid was the head coach of the Chiefs?
Where would you put the Eagles?
I think Eagles are either three or four. I just think Ravens are farther down than you think. I think the Broncos, maybe not right now. Maybe Broncos are five now. Maybe it goes Bills, Bengals, Ravens, Eagles, Broncos for
now. I
think
Bo Nix has to win one for that to start.
Yeah, but I think the offseason hype machine surrounds them a little bit, and if they get one, you're going to see the Broncos rivalry look like the 90s in Kansas City again, because they are the darling of the AFC West. And they did, I know they beat the Chiefs last year in the game that didn't count, like week 18, but they came as close to winning as you can in Arrowhead. So I think the Broncos are in the top five, and I think the Eagles are four.
Yeah, but I'm sitting here and I'm going back. I know I'm going back on you a little bit. Like, the reason I think that Chiefs fans kind of hate Cincy in that way is obviously it's the trash talk, right? It's the Burrowhead. It's the coming in here. Like, I keep seeing a lot of people saying we respect Buffalo. A major reason of why this rivalry hasn't really gone past that point is one side wins all the time. The reason that Chiefs fans feel the way that they feel about Cincinnati is they're the only team in the AFC that has anything over the Chiefs. Now, it's a small thing over the Chiefs compared to everybody else, but you can look at Josh Allen and say, you've never beat Kansas City when it matters. You can look at Lamar and say that. You can look at Justin Herbert. You can look at every other quarterback currently in the AFC and say, in January, when it matters most, our team has always beat your team. Kind of the reason you can't, like, you cannot say that to Joe Burrow. He's done it before in your building. You went to Arrowhead with the expectation of seeing the confetti dropped on you, and you saw it dropped on you for another person and another player. But from a team perspective, is anybody worried about Cincinnati? Like, if we opened the text line right now and said, who's the fourth most dangerous team in the AFC? So it's Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, however you want to kind of rank those other two teams. Who's putting Cincinnati at four on that list? I wouldn't put Cincinnati on four. I don't look at them as being the fourth best team. So if we're not talking about them being a team that you're afraid of to stop you from getting to the goal ultimately that we're all discussing here, how real is that rivalry at this point?
I'd say this, though. I don't think sports rivalries and sports hate is built on logic and reason. I think it's built on feelings and emotions. And you're right. No one views the Bengals as an on-field threat to the Chiefs in 2025. And probably not in 2026 either with the way their owner works things. But Chiefs fans feel an emotion about the Bengals because of one day. They don't feel that emotion because of the Bills. They don't care that they lost in November and December to the Bills. We'll get them back in January, and they always have. Maybe if the 13-second game went the other way, they would feel that way, but it didn't. On the field, they view them as a threat, but it's a respect, and we know, hey, we're going to play good games. We're probably going to get you in the important one. Sports hate and sports rivalry is built on emotion and feeling, not logic and reason. And the Bengals made Chiefs fans feel something. So that's why I have them at one. And I think the text line is kind of proving my point. There is a hate for the Bengals. It makes no sense, but there is a hate for the Bengals.
Are the Chargers in this top five?
No. They don't have fans. Who did Chiefs fans going to jaw with about the Chargers?
I wish I had a good counter. I don't have a good counter. I don't.
The chair next to you is the same as LA. Really, no one cares about the Chargers over there.
I can't tell you that you're wrong. So you're telling me if we did top five rivals right now to the Chiefs, you don't think that Chiefs fans will put the Chargers in there?
No.
Even though they are a team that won double digits in their division and plays them, I would say pretty close.
They wouldn't view them as a threat. No chance. None. There could be more Chargers fans in Sao Paulo than would be in LA.
How would you round out the rest of the top five? Buffalo 1, Cincy 2, Baltimore or Philly at 3?
Philly. Again, it's that feelings thing. They took something from you. And by the way, they embarrassed you when they took it from you. The Bengals stole a Super Bowl from you, but it was like...
I'm being serious. I don't understand how in 2025 you could dislike Cincinnati more than you could dislike Philadelphia. I don't understand that.
I think they are...
I understand the Burrowhead thing. I mean, they were up... The Eagles danced on your grave in front of everybody. I'm just saying is if we are comparing what's worse, losing in the AFC Championship game, nobody really outside of Kansas City, no, you won't see highlights of that game. You will see highlights for the rest of your life of that Super Bowl. For the rest of your life, you will see it. I don't understand in 2025 disliking the Bengals more than disliking the Eagles. Not with what they did. If they had just beat you 27-24, I wouldn't have this opinion. That ain't what happened, man.
I mean, I get what you're saying.
I'm being quite honest. That was the worst loss of Patrick Mahomes' career. I know you can say the Tampa Bay, but the one against Tampa Bay, it just always had a big asterisk to it. Like, oh, man, it's not that bad. I mean, you played well. I mean, you did your best. Ain't nobody patting the Chiefs on the head for their effort against the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm saying is that's the worst loss that they have. It happened in the Super Bowl, and you're telling me that you still feel a way about a loss that happened 3 years ago, and since then you've won two Super Bowls and been to three of them? I don't understand that in 2025.
I think it's because – now, maybe the text line will switch. I have already hit a request right now in for Elliot Shore Parks, Chiefs fans' favorite media personality in Philadelphia. Once he comes on the show, but – I think the average Bengals fan talks a lot spicier about a game that has disappeared from most fans' mind, where the Eagles fans, it's like I don't see you that often. You're in a different division, whatever. Da-da-da-da. I mean, there's a little Andy in the Philadelphia connection, the Kelsey connection. Like, I think they kind of let it go where, I don't know what it is, man. Cincinnati just sticks in Chiefs fans' craw.
We can keep talking about this. 913-586-7965 was wondering if the Chargers would rank in your top five power rankings of teams that you dislike the most. They have been a pretty competitive team. They've played good games against the Chiefs. You guys do hate the fact that every year somebody like Colin Cowherd picks them to win the division. This is going to be their year. But Rob is telling me that they don't even register in the top five of teams that you guys dislike the most. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back into the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will talk about the video of me that is circulating. I was on the Kiss Cam yesterday, and It didn't go well. That's all I can say. I'll tell you the story coming up at 5 o'clock. It did not go well for me. In fact, it went the exact opposite that you would want the kiss cam to go. The exact opposite. There is an expectation when they put you on there. And if when they cut away from you, if people are laughing and going, oh, it didn't go well for you. And that happened to me. I didn't score and neither did the Royals. Just to be honest with you. I mean, both of us were bad on offense yesterday. We'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. So I'm asking you guys if the Chargers are in your top five teams that you dislike. I only ask that question because I would say that every year we have certain traditions here in Kansas City. The lighting of the Plaza Light Ceremony, the Plaza Art Fair, when the Big 12 tournament comes to town, there are some things that we do every single year as a community. They matter. In June, you guys will find the one person that picks the Chargers. See, told you. The media always does this. Wait, it's like two people that picked them. Why are we doing this? But this year, I will say, you guys have come by this honestly because it has been a lot more people than normal. I mean, I've seen a lot of people picking either the Chargers or the Broncos to win the division. So this year, I actually don't think you guys are crazy. Sometimes I think you're crazy. Sometimes I think you're the girl that just wants everybody to think that you're pretty. Like, wait, like that? You? Yes, you are. Why do you need everybody to tell you that? But I think you guys will come by that honestly this year. I was wondering if the Chargers even rate for you guys as a team that you don't like. And the text line is telling me right now that you guys don't got no issues with them. Like, none. You have zero issues with them. So, 913-586-7965. This is a text that we just got. I would rate it Buffalo 1, Baltimore 2, Denver 3, Cincinnati 4, Raiders 5. I do think that's probably the answer. I just don't know if they're in the right order. But I do think, like, if you go to Arrowhead next Sunday and you walk around and you ask average Chiefs fans to rank from 1 to 5 the teams that they hate the most, I do think that these five are on the board, maybe just not in the order I would put it in.
I mean, I guess that's the five. I think it depends on who you'd ask at Arrowhead. I don't think the new, younger generation Chiefs fans feel any dislike for the Raiders. I think they hear stories from the Dana and Hughes types. They hear stories from Mitch Holtis. They hear stories from we do this every year on this show. We can get former Chiefs players talking about hate Raider Week and hating the Raiders, not their moms and their dads. How much do we hate the Raiders? Da da da. But I don't think the average 18 to 40 year old in Kansas City has any actual hate for the Raiders. They just hear about it from their elders and they feel like, oh, well, they hate them, so I will too. But that group, that era, actually hates Philadelphia. I don't know they actually hate the Raiders. I just think they've been told you have to. But the Raiders have done nothing to warrant being hated by 18 to 35 year old Chiefs fans. They just haven't.
I got a toss up question to ask you. You ready for this toss-up?
I'm ready.
If you are starting a team, would you rather have Harbaugh and Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid and Herbert?
Andy Reid and Herbert.
You didn't really hesitate.
Andy Reid is the best. I think he might be the best coach of all time.
This is why I'm on the other side. I'm sorry to cut you off. This is why I'm on the other side. I don't think the gap between Harbaugh and Reed is nearly as bad as the gap between Mahomes and Herbert. So if you're telling me, like, out of these four options, which one would I take with the number one overall pick? I would take Patrick Mahomes. I would take the best quarterback in the National Football League. And then I'd rank it Reed, Harbaugh, and a pretty big gap between Herbert. Yeah, I think I'd rather have Mahomes and Harbaugh if I'm starting a team. I still have who I think is one of the five best coaches in the league. I know he doesn't have the accolades for it, but I think if you were talking X's and O's, accomplishment across the sport, I think that Harbaugh is one of the five best coaches in the league. And you're going to give me the best quarterback? I think I got a chance at having a much more stable foundation than having Reed and Justin Herbert. That's who I would pick.
I actually don't think there's a wrong pick here. Like, I think either team is going to be good because I think the coaches are similar. But man, Andy Reid might be the best to ever have done this. I think he's the best in the league now. And I've seen Andy Reid go to a Super Bowl with Donovan McNabb. I think Justin Herbert is a more talented quarterback than Donovan McNabb. I've seen Andy Reid go to the playoffs consistently with Alex Smith. And Alex Smith is a fine quarterback. He should not have been a multiple-time division champ, playoff game type of guy. That's just Andy Reid got the best out of him. Andy Reid went to the postseason with Michael Vick. This isn't Michael Vick from Atlanta where he was on the video game. This is post-jail Michael Vick. He went to the postseason. Like, Andy Reid is freak show good at coaching. I think you're underselling the gap between he and Harbaugh, and that's no disrespect to Harbaugh. Andy Reid is incredible, and I think if Mahomes got hurt, you know, knock on wood, and they had to have Minshew for four games, I think Andy Reid might go 3-1 in those games just because he's that good of an NFL football coach.
No, I don't disagree with you. I just, and maybe I'm putting a lot of stock into what we've seen Harbaugh do at other levels and not in the National Football League, even though he took a team led by Colin Kaepernick to the Super Bowl. I mean, Stanford was not a great football program. He built Stanford up in a very short period of time. Michigan, I would say that there was a pretty decent gap between them and Ohio State, and he covered that gap in a very short period of time to where they have now beat Ohio State, I believe, what, five consecutive seasons they have beat them, and they won a national championship. I mean, if you want to talk about one of the coaches that helped shift the balance from the South back towards the Big Ten, Harbaugh is definitely in that conversation, and he's also taken a team to Super Bowls. So I'm just if you got you got Reid as the best coach in the National Football League, I think that's the correct answer. There's not too many other guys, and you just know how I feel about Herbert in this situation. Let me know what you guys would pick. 913-586-7965. This toss-up question just popped in my mind. Would you rather have a team that's led by Harbaugh and Mahomes or Reid and Herbert? Let me know what you guys think at the top of the hour. We'll also get back to the Royals. I will tell you guys the story of me on the Kiss Cam. Things did not go well for your boy. That's all I can say. We'll do all that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.